The Fan. On demand. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights. Have you got game? Got game. On the Sportsnet Radio Network and Sportsnet590.ca.
This is Got Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Coming up this week, MLB The Show will have a Canadian cover once again, but for the first time, it will have a Canadian on it. We finally know when the boys of South Park will give us the stick of truth. We get into the Olympic spirit and review Sonic and Mario at the Sochi Olympics, and Brian puts the pieces together to review the Lego Movie game.
Have you got game?
This is Got Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Back for another week to talk some video games. I am Momin Qureshi, Brian Calhoun, and Christine Chubb joining me around our triangular table as usual. If you're just tuning in for the first time in Toronto or Ottawa or somewhere online around the world, this is a show where we talk about video games each and every week. We've been doing it for almost 6 years. We're coming up on 6 years pretty soon at some point this year, just in a couple months' time.
I'm not bringing the cupcakes this year.
Okay.
I've done it for 5 years.
I will commit to bringing them.
Okay.
Nice.
How about that? I will commit to bringing them. And then eating them myself while you two watch me.
That's fine.
Okay. You can follow us on Twitter at GotGame590. You can email us, GotGame@Sportsnet590.ca. You can download the show on iTunes or on the TuneIn app on the Android network. You can always listen online at Sportsnet590.ca. Rogers Radio app. Oh, there's a million ways you can listen to us. We do this every week. We talk about video games. And one of the things we like to do is talk about local stories. One of the things we like to do is talk about sports stories. And hey, there's a local sports story that's about video games this week.
How do you like that?
For the last 2 years,
we've been waiting for South Park to come out.
Yes, we'll get to that in a sec, because it is coming out very soon. Stick of Truth. Hang around. We're coming out to that in a minute. But first, MLB The Show, 2 years ago, started doing a Canadian cover for the game. And the first year was Jose Bautista, after he had that monster season where he hit like more than 40 home runs and killed it. And we were like, obvious. And we interviewed him and we had him on the show. Then the next year, they did a Canadian cover and they had Jose Bautista.
Yeah.
And they put him
somewhat
on the cover.
Somewhat less obvious, though. They were going into a season with a lot of big talent.
Yeah, but I think at that point, they just didn't have anybody else. Not that they didn't have anybody else, but he was still sort of the overarching choice because everybody else they got at that point was brand new. Like, Ari Dickey was new and Josh Johnson was new. And
he had that really good All-Star game where it was... Yeah. Where he hit the 40 home runs and everybody was really excited about that, and so it was a whole thing.
So now we're here and they're doing it again this year.
Again.
It is not Jose Bautista.
Nope.
It is actually, for the first time ever, a Canadian.
Yay!
A Canadian is going to be on the cover of the Canadian edition of MLB The Show. If you know the Jays and you know baseball, then you have probably figured out that it is Brett Laurie
who will be
on the cover. The Jays third baseman who had a pretty good year last year. Not a super fantastic year, but he, after coming back from his injuries, he came around, had a good year. We're expecting big things out of him this year. He does have all-star potential. Hopefully he can come through, but he is on the cover of MLB The Show 14, which I think is great, the Canadian edition at least.
I think it's a good choice because, I mean, they've really tried to promote the Blue Jays as Canada's team. Mm. And no matter what, no matter how good everybody's game is, Laurie stands out as like the prototypical like Canadian good guy athlete kind of thing, and he's
rough and tumble.
Tumble, fun, lots of energy, you know, even if he's not having the greatest game, he's still like
110%
hyper and excited to be there, and I think he's really recognizable. Although, I mean, when the season ended, I thought for sure the obvious choice was going to be Double E. You know, Encarnacion had an amazing season and he was just all over the place, but
sure.
I don't think that he has the recognition that Laurie would have. And let's face it, we have the two pictures up on the blogger. We've tweeted them
of
the possible choices. He looks good on that cover. Like, he suits the cover really well.
And I also think that Sony was waiting for Laurie to come around. You know, I mean, the first year, Bautista was the obvious choice.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing, all-star, had a killer season, just signed that monster contract. And I think they maybe thought about it last year, but they're like, okay, maybe we're not ready to make that leap yet. And they were waiting for him to sort of come around and start playing like a good career Major League Baseball player.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now's the right time where they're like, okay, he's the guy. He's sort of, he's not the face of the team, but he's one of the faces of the team. He's a Canadian kid. You know, he's got, like you said, the great image of being like a super hyper energy guy, probably likes gaming. We've actually talked to JP Arencibia, former Blue Jay, about how him and Laurie used to game together.
Mm-hmm.
So I like this pick. It's a good pick. It's a smart pick. It's a Canadian guy, which is going to help them in their approach to selling this game. It's the smart move.
Although I did think it was funny because last year Bautista, one of the options for the cover was the Canadian jersey. And this year there's two covers and
none of them have
a Canadian jersey on it.
Why would you with a Canadian guy?
I thought that would be like the absolute, like, wave the maple syrup flag and have a good time.
But for it to be the Canadian jersey, wouldn't Brett Laurie have to take his shirt off?
That's right.
Would that not be, since he's, no? Okay.
I have no problem with that whatsoever.
Yeah, Christina and Lori taking the shirt off. I'm shocked that you don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, it's a rough decision, but that's my decision that I don't have a problem with.
Now, just out of curiosity, So it ends up being Lori. Anyone surprised by that choice? Was there anyone else that you thought would have been on the cover instead of him?
Other than Double E, I think that Colby would have been a good choice had he not been injured so much, because he did take a lot of that time off. But you can't deny, I mean, he had a great season. But I think that Brett makes a lot of sense.
I think, for me, he's the obvious choice. I think the only other people, you're right, is Encarnacion or R.A. Dickey, because when you're putting somebody on the cover, you don't only want to put a good player, but you want to put somebody with some sense of marketability on it who can, I mean, I know, look, let's face it, covers don't move games, but they do have an impact on your marketing campaign and they help you get the word out there. So you want to put somebody who has some sort of marketability. Double E, Bautista, Dickey, and Laurie, to me, are the four guys, and Laurie is the most obvious of the choices. And it's funny because this kind of came out without really us knowing about it a bit.
It was quite surprising.
But if I thought about it, I would have been like, yeah, Brett Laurie's the guy. Like, that, it makes perfect sense to me.
I think it would have been kind of funny if they had Adam Lind with the giant beard on. That would have been pretty awesome.
His beard is illustrious.
It is crazy, beautiful. And I love it.
Have you seen the Lind beard?
No.
Oh, it's tremendous.
Are you asking me if I know anything about baseball? No.
Could you point Adam Lind out in the lineup?
The only thing I can do Blue Jay related is recite the Mark Burley no-hitter against the Texas Ranger call in my head, word for word.
Nice.
Because that was such an amazing play. But other than that, Blue what?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you're listening to Got Game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and what's interesting is we interviewed Jose Bautista last year. I say we. I wasn't actually there. It was Christine and Brian. Mm-hmm. Interviewed him last year. Which one of you asked the question? Was it?
It was Brian.
It was Brian. And you said, okay, you've been on the cover 2 years in a row. What about year three? Are you going for the three-peat? Do you think you're going to do it, or is somebody else going to usurp you?
The hat trick.
The hat trick, as it were.
I prefer to call it.
To mix our sports metaphors and bring a hockey metaphor in. Or a cricket metaphor, whatever you want, or a soccer metaphor. It's all the same. And this is what he said to us.
You know, you're always worried. I've had great teammates ever since I got here, so I know everybody has a chance. Like I said, I'm honored to have been chosen twice. And I know there's a lot of more accomplished guys on this team than any other that I've been a part of here in Toronto. So, I mean, I hope somebody else does something so great that allows us to go to the playoffs in the World Series and they get chosen. That would definitely be a bigger satisfaction. I like to put my team first instead of individual accolades, and I hope that happens. But if not, I also want to be considered.
So here's the thing. Brett Laurie did have a good season.
Mm-hmm.
They did not go to the World Series.
No.
They did not have a heroic ending to their season. They actually had a pretty terrible season given how high the expectations were.
Mm-hmm.
But he's right. Somebody else did step up and take the cover away from him. So it's kind of quasi-prognosticating by Jose Bautista.
Yeah, I mean, Laurie came in injured, but I mean, in the end, he ended up having a pretty decent season by the time the season ended up.
So. If it was Bautista, though, what would you be thinking right now if he did get that third cover?
I would be thinking that Sony's out of ideas. They need to think of something new, honestly.
I
love Jose Bautista. I'm a huge fan of his. I'm a huge Jays fan. He's a terrific player. But 3 years in a row, it makes you look like you just run out of ideas if you do that. And that's why I think they needed to change gears. Yeah. I think they wanted to change gears, and they had the perfect person to do it with.
Yeah, honestly, I think that second year was just, they had no one else that they, I guess, could really turn to at that point. Because as you say, decisions were still being made.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
By the time we had talked to Jose, you know, the lineup had started. In fact, he had played the home opener.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have to imagine by the time the deal was put together, you're probably talking as early as the end of the previous year.
Mm-hmm.
And Reyes hadn't been injured yet, so that was still a good possibility that he
Jose,
was going to
assume. That's another one. Jose Reyes, that might have been a decent choice, too. But, I mean, you can't beat putting a Canadian on the Canadian cover of a game, and a Canadian who isn't just like an average player. He's clearly an above-average player who has the potential to be an all-star at some point and you know, be the best third baseman in baseball if he puts it all together at the right time. So.
Mm-hmm.
Good pick all around. You are listening to Got Game, and we're going to try to talk to Brett Laurie at some point, hopefully in you know, before the game comes out, and it'll be fun. It'll be fun. You are listening to Got Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Moman, Brian, and Christine around the table. A game that we talked about for quite some time. We alluded to it early in the show. We've been talking about it for 2 years.
At least.
About 2 years. It was E3 2012. Where
we saw it at E3 when you were there.
Yeah,
in
2012.
The room. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you weren't there with us last year. So
no, I was not. So it's been at least a year and a half, almost 2 years. We speak of South Park, The Stick of Truth. Originally started up by THQ, Matt Stone and Trey Parker are very involved. Mm-hmm. Obviously, THQ went under, so Ubisoft bought it up. It was pushed back a couple of times. Now we know it is coming out on March 4th.
That's so soon.
Very soon.
I was so surprised.
Not only are we sure about this, they are actually printing discs.
Yeah.
There is no way that an 11th hour thing can come in again and push this all back. It's happening.
Unless somebody goes to a patent office and tells them they're the president of Ubisoft and unregisters a trademark. But I mean, aside from that, that's the only thing that could really get in the way here.
Yeah, so to...
Or pretend they're Trey Parker and...
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
They released 13 minutes of in-game footage this week, too, and it looks really good. I mean, it's definitely different from what I saw at E3 last year, but I mean, I just saw little bits throughout the game, and this is literally the first 13 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
It looks fun. It's funny already. Like, I was sitting there in my living room laughing. I'm like, if this is the first 13 minutes, this game's going to be nuts. And I got so excited. It was so silly. Out of everything, the most excited I got was you see at one time they click into the menu and you just see the little map in the corner. And I was like, oh my God, it's all of South Park. And I don't know why I got so excited about it, but I totally did.
The one thing I distinctly remember about our trip to E3 in 2012 is that I don't remember if it was Matt Stone or Trey Parker who said that one of the interesting things for them was that when they make the show and they go from Kenny to Kyle's house, it's just a cutscene, and then all of a sudden you're at Kyle's house. And they go, in this game, the designers were like, all right, where does Kenny live in relation to Kyle? They're like, well, we don't know. Like, we've never actually thought about how you would get from Kenny to Kyle's house. And like, so we had to actually like draw the map and say, okay, if you're at Kenny's house and you have to go to Kyle's house, you have to go down the street, through this walkway, around this corner. And then so they had to actually map out the town of South Park.
Yeah, awesome.
And that was it. So, I mean, it's a very cool thing for people who have been fans of the show for the last... Well, what are we going on, like 15, 16, 17
something
years?
Something like that,
that show's been on. It's been like, I think it was the late 90s that it started. So it's clearly been a long time. So that's cool. What are the odds that this game isn't rated M for mature?
Impossible, considering even the game link on YouTube is one of those you have to have be of a certain age to get there. And even in the first 13 minutes, there was... a bit of racism. There was...
really? From South Park?
I know, there was... quite a bit of adult language.
Shocking.
I mean, mostly it's going to be, you know, just filthy humor and carbon swearing.
Especially since now they're not even on television, so like all the gloves are off.
Oh, yeah, they can go to town.
Yeah, they can just do whatever they
want. I mean, look what they did to the movie. My favorite story about South Park is that when they originally wrote the South Park movie, they wrote it in a way that they never thought would get passed by the censors. So they did like the craziest things and they were like, okay. They're like, how is this fine?
Nobody can watch this, but we'll release it.
Satan is doing what to who?
There has to be an armed guard at every screen, but
I remember,
let you watch it.
I remember I wanted to see the South Park movie really badly, and I think I was like in my first or second year of university when it came out, and I was like just desperate to see it, and one of my friends had already seen it, and I said, how was it? He goes, well, I'll say this about the movie. They did a good job of making fun of and offending everybody on the face of this earth.
Yeah.
He goes, there is no group left untouched. There is nobody's going to walk around and be like, wow, that was that was not super offensive.
Now, just to answer something you brought up earlier, Christine, since they are going gold, which means they are currently taking discs and putting them in packages and putting them on trucks, the game has to have a rating at this point.
Mm-hmm.
M.
For mature.
It's mature.
For mature.
Shocking. So that is South Park, The Stick of Truth, coming out on March the 4th. We will review it on this show for sure because we're all excited to play it. We got a lot more coming up in this show. We're going to talk some Olympics in the next segment. And coming up a little later, Brian is going to review the Lego Movie game. Coming up on Got Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Prizes like no other. From a club like no other. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Got Game. In the game.
This is Got Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Christine Chubb and Brian Calhoun are around the table. I'm Moman Qureshi. We're back for segment two. You can follow us on Twitter at GotGame590. Always send us an email, gotgame@sportsnet590.ca. Even if you live in Ottawa or anywhere around the world, that's the email address. And if you missed it, you can find it on the iTunes, on the TuneIn app, on the Android, or online at sportsnet590.ca. unless you are living under some giant boulder somewhere, you know we are dead smack in the middle of the Olympics, halfway at this point. Yep. They're
Christine,
happening
why don't you
in Sochi,
tell me?
I'm sorry, I thought that you knew.
Now, you know what the cool part is? Or not the, sorry, it's not cool. It just stuck in my head that it's been 4 years since Vancouver, which means it's been 4 years since I Believe by Nicki Janowski came out.
No, I've heard that since.
No, I didn't say we haven't heard it for 4 years. I said it's been 4 years since it came out.
I'm sorry, I thought you said this was good somehow.
Or? No, I retracted that right away. And I just remember being here, and we had the rights at that time, and so it was played nonstop, and I just remember people wanting to, like, gouge their eyes out at, like, the 1,000th playing.
And, could you imagine being her, though? She had to sing it everywhere.
And the thing is that Nicki, you know, like, it's actually a good song, but not when you've heard it, like, 10,000 times.
Yeah.
And she's a good singer, too. It's just after a while, it's just like, ah! When we were leading up to the Sochi Olympics in the newsroom, I was like, guys, guess what time it is? And I played it, and I just, like, I got, like, death stares from across the newsroom from people, which, like, already, I was like, okay, clearly we haven't come around yet. It hasn't been enough time, so I'll just put it to bed and put it away. We are talking about the Sochi Olympics because Mario and Sonic at the Sochi Olympics is out. We didn't play it, but we thought, hey, let's call a friend of the
Mario
show.
Mario and Sonic, they're out of the Olympics? What happened? Drug testing? Broken leg? Tell me, how'd they get out of the Olympics?
I don't know, but I think they think that Sonic's somersault is maybe illegal in some way. So
I think there's definitely some kind of performance-enhancing drug
mushrooms?
There.
No, gold rings.
Gold rings,
gold
there
rings,
you go.
Yeah, gold rings and mushrooms. Those are the two things. Now, joined on the line by Phil Brown. He's a freelance gaming writer. He writes for places like CG Magazine and others. And Phil, you know, we're right in the middle of Olympics right now. The Winter Olympics happening in Sochi. Everybody's got Olympic fever. We're all glued to it, watching it, you know, just carried away in the spirit. We thought, you know, well, we'd like to talk about it on our show. So Sonic and Mario at the Sochi Olympics, another edition. They've had, I don't know how many of these they've had. I remember they've had at least, I'd say, a couple, three, four.
We played a couple of them before. Yeah. It's been a while since I played one.
Yeah, I seem to recall a Beijing edition, too. So it's been at least since 08, I think.
But let's be honest, they're all little minigame collections that blend into each other. So tell us, Phil, is it a gold medal or a silver, a bronze? Does it even place?
That's an interesting question. I guess it would depend on expectations. Like you said, they're basically sort of mini party game collections. So perhaps I'd give it a bronze for family audiences. Yeah, it's an interesting thing where, like, the Wii sort of launched with that Wii Sports title that sort of everyone got obsessed with when that came out. Mm-hmm. And then ultimately, even though it was sort of one of the highest selling games of all time, the legacy has been a bit questionable simply because there wasn't really much else to go after that. So these sort of Mario and Sonic Olympic games are sort of the closest thing to a legacy that they've had. They're basically, yeah, just sort of little party mini games. There's not really a heck of a lot to them beyond sort of just playing around with your family. Yeah, you can sort of play as any of the Mario or Sonic family. And yeah, you just do basic games like snowboarding, hockey, skiing, figure skating, curling, if you feel so inclined to do video game curling. You can knock yourself out with that.
Wait, you have to stop there, I am inclined to do video game curling. You have to backtrack for me and explain to me what it is like to go curling with Sonic and Mario.
Okay, it's actually one of the best in terms of the motion controls, because it sort of uses the Wii Plus, which has very, very sensitive motion control setting. Yeah, you just sort of, it's just not unlike the Wii Bowling where you sort of flick your wrist to launch the curling, what do you even call it? Launch the curling rock, and yeah, it's very, very simple beyond that, but its motion controls are quite sensitive. It feels pretty good if you enjoy a virtual curling experience. The most fun aspect to it is they have these things called dream events, which are sort of fantasy versions. The best version of that is a hockey game that's sort of like NBA Jam with super-powered shots and hitting and that sort
of
thing.
That is very nice.
Yeah, it's disposable, it's sort of goofy fun, and on that level, it's enjoyable. My personal favorite was either the snowboarding or the bobsled, which was sort of done with the Wiimote as a sort of balance board, which worked fairly well in terms of a simulation, and also the graphics are quite pretty based on that. So, yeah, I mean, like, again, it's all about expectations. If you buy this thing expecting it to be something that you're going to play for hours and hours and hours and become obsessed with, then chances are you're going to be very disappointed. But if you're just looking for something to do on a Sunday afternoon when you have the Olympic fever and you just can't stop, the games themselves aren't enough, and this is a cartoony extension.
Okay, so the most important question is, when you're playing curling, can Mario yell hurry hard while you're curling or no? Does he not have that ability?
He doesn't specifically have that ability, but there's nothing stopping you from doing
it. Did you do it when you were doing it?
I didn't, simply because I played curling by myself, but were I playing with other people, I would not be able to help myself.
Oh, all right. Well, it's good to know.
So, as far as I understand, though, this is a Wii U exclusive. I don't think it's on the 3DS, and it's definitely not on the Wii. Is there any implementation of that gamepad that apparently was supposed to be so integral to the workings of the system when it first came out?
Yeah, unfortunately, not really. It's mostly just used sort of as a leaderboard. I really got the impression playing it that it was a game sort of designed for the Wii, and then they realized the Wii U was coming out in time, and they sort of shut it off. So it's basically, yeah, like the any sort of balance games you do with the Wii U controller could also be done with a Wii remote, and it's basically the same thing. So, yeah, I wouldn't really say it's integral, but that's been a bit of a problem for Nintendo with the system as a whole.
Are any of the minigames that are in there awful?
I try to think. Unfortunately, it's been a little while since I've played it. Mm-hmm. But I mean, some, like the figure skating just kind of felt pointless to me.
How do you figure skate? How does that work?
It's basically just with a joystick. Like, it's not even anything specific. It's just sort of pattern recognition, essentially.
Ah.
So that was a bit dull. But again,
I do love the idea of Wario figure skating, though.
It's true. It is adorable to see Mario figure skate. I suppose that's something.
Now, I just have to ask you, if I was to take all your rights, all your ability to run away, if I was to tie you to a chair and force you to either watch the actual Olympics or play this game, which is more appealing to you?
Well, I guess that would depend on how long, because I could run through a full round of the Mario Sonic Olympic Games in about half an hour versus the Olympics or an all-day event. So if it's a torture situation where you're tying me to a chair, I'd go with the half-hour option. But in terms of actual entertainment, probably the real Olympics.
See, now, if you tied me to a chair and just, like, left the Olympics on, I would be so happy. I'd be like, this is great. I don't have to do anything. I just sit here and watch the Olympics. It's fine.
Just lie on the couch, get some popcorn, make a day of it.
You know what? When you put it that way, I think I'm going to change my answer.
So, I mean, overall, like, what would you say to people who are considering getting this game?
If it's something that you're getting, like, as a family sort of goofy party game thing, it's certainly enjoyable and worth recommending, but if you're someone who's really into sort of very, very accurate sports simulators, then I definitely wouldn't recommend it, because you're not going to get much out of it in that department. So it's all about expectations. If you're just looking for a silly way to kill a couple hours with some children, then you could do a hell of a lot worse.
And here on Got Game, we tend to rank games out of 10. If you can slap a number on this thing for us, we greatly appreciate it.
Can I do decimals?
Yeah, sure. Of course.
Then I'm going to go 6.5.
So that is Phil Brown, who was kind enough to join us. He's a freelance gaming writer talking about Sonic and Mario at the Sochi Olympics. He's gone now to watch figure skating. So
now, I have to ask, who do you think has more medals in general, since Phil Brown has given Sonic and Mario the bronze? Would it be them or the Jamaican bobsled team? Do we know yet?
Not yet. The Jamaicans haven't competed yet as of the time we're taping this show. I don't think bobsledding is until the middle of next week or something. So, fingers crossed, man. We're all cheering for them.
I am. I know. I do not know if they are inspired by the movie. I do not care. But I love that movie so much that they are really going to be my favorite team.
You know, I was having an interesting conversation last week as to whether people in Jamaica were more inspired by the actual Jamaican bobsled team that went to the 88 Olympics, or is it the movie that has become such a part of pop culture that kids are growing up watching, saying, hey, I want to do that.
I'm going to guess the movie.
I feel like the team itself was inspiring, but now the movie is what has stuck in sort of the lexicon with people, and it's like, oh yeah, it's the movie.
In the end, it's both of them, because one obviously led to the other.
Yeah.
As they say, art imitates life.
And John Candy. He's very persuasive. Or was very persuasive.
Right on. And Dougie Doug. Who doesn't love Dougie Doug?
Dougie Doug. That's what that dude's name was.
Yeah, Dougie Doug.
That's right.
You are listening to Got Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network. We did want to talk about the fact that there's a new Vita coming.
Yay.
Vita!
you have one, Brian. How do you feel about the story?
And I do enjoy my Vita a lot, but this story really pisses me off.
Why?
Because I paid, I'd say close to $300 for my Vita.
But that was like 2 years ago, though.
Yes, okay, but here's the thing. That system, I greatly enjoy my Vita. Yeah. As I said, I played a lot of it using my PlayStation 4, because up until a little while ago, no television to play on, you know, consoles with.
Right. Heard TV Gate. Go on.
So greatly enjoyed my Vita, had a grand old time with it. The problem with the Vita is that for some reason, Sony decided to have a proprietary memory card.
Hmm.
Like, I could honestly have just gone to a store and bought 16 gigs of memory for what I paid for 4 gigs. And I've only ever had 4 gigs because I refuse to give Sony more money until the price for those memory cards. But obviously, because they are the thing that Sony's trying to squeeze the most cash out of, the prices for them haven't come down. So here's this cheaper Vita, and they're just giving them an 8 gig memory card. Twice the memory for what I paid. Overpaid. I think I paid $20 for that memory card for 4 gigs.
I get it, and I totally understand why you're mad, but I mean, we've all seen it over time where prices drop and they give you more for less because it's we've distanced ourselves from the release date and the hype has died down.
But
and
the memory card has not changed.
No, you're right. You're right. I get what you're saying. This Vita that's coming out is lighter, slimmer. It's going to be cheaper, $199.
Stronger. It's faster. It's other things from that Daft Punk song.
They've embodied the Olympic spirit.
They've rebuilt it. They have the technology.
That's a reference that so few of our listeners will understand.
It's the $200 million Vita.
That's right.
$6 million Vita. It was $6 million, man, right?
$6 million.
$6 million, man. But it is, yeah, $199, 8 gig memory card, slimmer, lighter, faster.
Stronger. Comes with a copy of Borderlands 2.
Do we know when it's coming out? Not yet. No, we don't know when it's coming out. But if you want one, it's coming. So save your money.
I guess it kind of makes sense. I mean, Sony's really pushing for the Vita to be as assistance to the PS4. So, I mean, they want it to be more accessible to people. And if you've just dropped... $300-$400 on a new system, and then I think it would be probably more feasible for them to think, all right, well, you know, 6-7 months down the line. Excuse me. I think it'd be more feasible to think, yeah, 6-7 months down the line, they're going to spend $200 for what would be basically an accompany piece to the system.
Now, the big problem with the Vita has always been a library. Mm-hmm. It's not the biggest or robust library out there in gaming, and Sony was quick to tout about 100 games planned for the Vita this year, but those games include the God of War collection. Yeah. MLB The Show, okay, that comes out on Vita every year, so there's one kind of new game. The Sly collection, which is Sly Cooper. Final Fantasy X HD Remastered. Yeah. I mean, a lot of these are just
redos.
Redos.
I got it.
So that's something you should be aware of. Not the greatest library in the Vita, but if you have a PlayStation 4, go get it. Because, man, that ability to play your PlayStation 4 without having your TV screen on is so worth $200.
Yeah. Absolutely. We got a lot more to come on Got Game, including Brian is going to review the Lego Movie game. That's all to come on Got Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to sportsnet590.ca. Have you got game?
You're back listening to the third and final segment of Got Game with a little bit of different intro music. Yeah, I like it.
Everything is awesome.
It'll be stuck in your head for days. I saw this movie last week and it's been in my head like every day.
Either you recognize the song or you don't. And if you do recognize it, you probably know it's from the super awesome Lego movie that is in theaters right now. I should mention that I'm Omen Qureshi, Brian Calhoun, Christine Chubb around the table. You're listening to Got Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network. We play the song from the Lego movie done by our very own. I say our very own as in Canada's very own.
No, they're ours.
Ours, yeah, they are ours too. They've been in this building a few times. Tegan and Sarah, who are awesome and I'm a big fan of. We bring it up because the Lego Movie game is also out.
Yeah.
We got our hands on it. We being specifically Brian Calhoun. You got to play it.
Yep.
Christine is typically our Lego go-to person.
Yes.
But we switched things up because it is on the
PS4.
And you are the only one of us that has a PS4 at the moment. So you play the Lego Movie game. Now, the movie is getting tremendous reviews. Christine, I know you've seen it.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's really good.
Hilarious.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Cameos aplenty.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But let's see. How does the game rate to the movie? Because the Lego games in general have been pretty good. You know, Lord of the Rings was really good. The Batman games were good. So they've been pretty good overall.
Especially when it comes to like the Lego versions of a movie. They've really managed to spot on
that. That is true.
And I do have a few complaints, Christine, but I have to ask you, as someone who's played these games over and over and over, there has to be some legacy problems, i.e. some issues that come up in every Lego game. Is there anything like that that comes to mind?
No, well, you know what? In the last few renditions of the game have changed dramatically. After Batman 2, they became with more open world. And I found with open world, things wouldn't break as well. Some of the scenery wouldn't pop up as much. So it was a glitchier. It was definitely glitchier because it was just so big.
That's interesting that you say that, because obviously this is basically the game of the Lego movie, and basically the plot is that Lego movie plot. Now, I have not seen the movie, but...
It's the exact plot of the movie.
Yeah, I've been able to stitch it together for YouTube clips that they've put out for promotional material and stuff that we've seen on commercial breaks, stuff like that. And just by following along and watching the movie clips that are taken right out of the movie and put in this game as cutscenes.
Ah.
Which, by the way, is actually one of my complaints. For some reason, they compress the heck out of them.
Oh.
So they don't look that great.
Mm.
Really?
Yeah. Especially on a system on the PlayStation 4 where you expect more power.
Yeah.
They have put a level of compression on these video clips that just make them look a little weird.
Oh, wow.
Not fuzzy. They're clear, but the colors are a little off.
I wonder if that's a next-gen problem, though, because, I mean, it hasn't really been a system... Like, it hasn't been a problem before that, but I wonder if that's just the rebooting to the new systems.
It's possible. We should mention, too, that if you haven't seen the Lego movie and you want to see the Lego movie, but you also want to play the Lego game, spoiler alert, maybe you should watch the movie before you play the game.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. That's actually... Yeah. It's not one of my complaints, because I can't hold this against the game, but I feel a little ripped off that I did not have the time, unfortunately, to go see the Lego movie before I started doing the review.
Mm-hmm.
So now I pretty much know the story of the movie, but I feel like...
A little bit of a heads up is nice.
Well, I feel like I now have lost something, because so much of the Lego movie pretty much is just the comedy of the situations that they put the characters in. And I kind of know most of those jokes, but there's going to be like 1 in 10 I've missed because they left it out of the game.
You know, they had that with the Pirates of the Caribbean game, because it came out just before the last Caribbean movie did, like maybe a week before. So I was playing it and I was like, I have no frame of reference to this. Like if I had seen the movie and I would have been, you know, I would have been able to get the jokes. I would have known it was coming, but there was a distance there that
I remember the opposite happened to me when I was playing the Amazing Spider-Man, which came out at the same time as the movie, The Amazing Spider-Man, but the game picked up right where the movie ended off and I hadn't seen the movie yet. And so like right in the opening 5 minutes, Peter is with Gwen and they're walking and they say like the big like sort of climax at the end of the movie. And I just like dropped my controller and I was like, what the heck? Like, they just came out like the big like climactic thing that happens at the very end of The Amazing Spider-Man, and I won't give it away just in case you haven't seen it yet, even though you've had like 2 years. But I was just like, come on, there's spoilers, and then there's like, hey, we're just going to give away everything right now.
Darth Vader is actually Spider-Man's father.
Yeah, that's right.
That's how that is.
Away.
Yeah.
But go on, Lego Movie game.
I don't know what to say. I mean, it's very well put together. It's the full voice cast of the movie.
Oh,
I don't
cool.
know.
Really?
Yeah, I do not know if they have just taken lines right out of the movie, every line, or if they've just had brand new voice tracks laid down for this game, because it seems like they would have to. But
it seems like everybody under the sun is in this movie.
In previous years, like when they had the Lord of the Rings one, it was all strictly dialogue directly from the movie.
Interesting.
It seems like they would need to have the voice actors to record a little bit more for this game.
Right.
I'm not entirely sure because I haven't seen the movie, but there are just situations where it's like, well, this dialogue you're giving me is gameplay related.
Yeah.
It's not storyline related. So I figure you have to have Morgan Freeman in there telling me how to swim around, you know, this one level. It seemed weird, but I appreciate that. At least it seems like the entire voice cast is in there. I have yet to hear Channing Tatum as Superman say anything or even be there, to be honest.
As long as Will Arnett's in there as Batman, that's what really matters.
Oh, he does make a grand appearance. He's in there for a lot of the game.
He's a big part of the movie.
Yeah, take no Christian Bale. You can just have a naturally growly voice and be Batman, like Will Arnett.
It's a very solid put-together game. I mean, high marks all around. They have the full cast. It looks great. The gameplay is perfect. I can't really find
any fault
there.
Does it play like all the other Lego games? Like the same premise is the same?
Yep. Yeah. You can drop in and out as soon as you want. Okay. There's always a second person.
Is it more of like an open world field, or like is it original kind of more games where...
That's one of my few issues. Yeah. It's hub worlds. They have different hub worlds based on the different scenes in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And you go from one to the next just like you do in the movie. I've been able to piece as much of that together by watching, as I said, stuff on YouTube along with what I've seen in this game. And I have seen a large part of the movie because, as I said, all the cutscenes are basically movie scenes. But it's weird in the sense that there's some very dramatic things that happen in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So you're in this hub world and all of a sudden you're escaping from the police and then you come back to the same hub world. It's like, I just did this whole thing to get away from here and now the game is bringing me back to the exact same location because it's a hub world and I have to go from here to the next place. So it's a weird disconnect. But
okay.
I don't know. I mean, across the board, the game's put together very well. As an adult, did not find it as entertaining. I would suggest that if you're an adult, go watch the movie instead if you have any interest. But if you're a kid or if you have kids, yeah, man. 8-year-old Brian would have loved this. So, yeah, I highly suggest it under those circumstances. 9 out of 10.
Really?
Wow,
good.
Nice.
9 out of 10 for the Lego Movie game from Brian Calhoun. Now we move into more Brian Calhoun territory here on Got Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network, and that is NASCAR 14.
The game, yes. And I know that we don't have the biggest NASCAR audience, so I took that into account. So this is about NASCAR the game. But I love talking to Ed Martin. Ed Martin's been in the video game development business for years. Mm-hmm. He has all sorts of great stories. So I shifted this interview into more about video game business. So we talk about making a video game, and it just happens to be NASCAR the game. Now, I don't know if you remember this, but the very first time I interviewed you, I was very confused by your choice of release date. And now it finally seems like NASCAR the game has gone to a point where you guys are launching at the beginning of the season, or as close as you can get without screwing up 20 years worth of industry release dates and stuff like that. And I was just wondering, was that Deep Silver's plan? Was that your plan? Have you guys been aiming for releasing just before the launch of the season? Or how did that all happen?
Release dates are kind of voodoo magic. Everybody thinks it's all very, you know, logical and scientific, and there is a lot of logic and science and market research that goes into it. But, you know, over the years of doing these games, and, you know, right, you and I have been talking about these for a long time, I've been doing them for a long time, we've tried pretty much every time of the year, and, you know, the game that came out just before NASCAR 14, we tried it as a holiday title. The one time that nobody has ever really tried, ironically, at the beginning of the season, which you would think would be the most logical thing in the world.
Yes.
But the reason nobody's ever tried to do it before, and I'm sure when you asked the question before, I said, oh my God, it would be almost impossible, because it is. We actually have to submit the finished game to Microsoft and Sony. So it goes through their final QA process and then certification and then manufacturing. We had to submit the finished game of NASCAR 14 to Sony and Microsoft at the end of November. So the 2013 season was barely over. It actually wasn't over when we internally had to final the game. The championship banquet in Las Vegas hadn't even happened, and we already had to have the entire 2014 season in the game and off to Microsoft and Sony. Now, that causes an unbelievable set of challenges, which is that quite literally there were not 43 Sprint Cup drivers signed to 2014 rides when we had to finish the game.
Every once a year, there is a large a selection of jumbling around, and this year has been probably one of the biggest since, oh, I don't know, 08, 09, somewhere around there?
Yeah, and it's continued as well. I mean, even after, you know, the season was over and everything seemed settled, you know, all of a sudden BK Racing decides they're going to change their drivers, and Earnhardt Ganassi Racing changed their name. They're now back to Chip Ganassi Racing with Felix Zabata. It's all these things that keep going on. And then, oh yeah, all of a sudden NASCAR decides to turn qualifying and the chase on its head and make major changes. So, you know, all of those things really, we didn't know what was going to come. We knew changes would come. And it was really a long discussion with Deep Silver saying, guys, you know, we've looked at doing it as a holiday title. You know, it'd be really cool to try beginning of the season and we could do Daytona, but here are the challenges and here's the reality of what we're going to have to do. And that reality is we're going to have to commit to updating the game after we ship because changes are going to come. Now, we were talking about driver changes and paint scheme changes, and now all of a sudden there's all this other stuff that's happened. It really was a very big decision with us and our partners at Deep Silver to say, all right, guys, you know, we can do this, or we can try and ship it later in the first quarter and get all that stuff in. You know, what do you think is right? And everybody, you know, said thumbs up, let's go for it. Tuesday before Daytona 500, let's make it happen. And we have. It's already been approved by Microsoft and Sony. It's in manufacturing right now. And the final builds are off to Steam of the PC product. So PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, and PC will all ship on Tuesday, February 18th.
Changes to actual NASCAR, the sport itself, have included a major change to qualifying. And I know that you guys, well, from what I know of game design, it's impossible for you guys to react fast enough to have that ready to go for when the game comes out. How quickly do you think you can react to all the changes that have happened to NASCAR at this point?
Well, the qualifying stuff we're actually working on right now. And if you believe the press, which I certainly do in this case, tomorrow is the day that the announcement of the changes to the chase are going to take place when Brian France does his State of the Sport.
I am the press, by the way. So
I know that that was the irony of what I said.
Yeah.
And I do believe you. I even threw you an underhanded compliment there. So we had that plan in place. We knew we could update paint schemes. But once they announced the qualifying changes and hinted pretty loudly that there were going to be some chase changes coming, we sort of said, okay, let's sit down, see what they announce, and then assess the full thing, because we don't want to put out 3-4 patches to the game to update all the changes that NASCAR is doing.
And that was Ed Martin with Eutechnics, a British-based studio who's been making the NASCAR games ever since EA Sports gave up the rights to NASCAR after the 09 game came out. And Eutechnics have pretty much been making the NASCAR games ever since then. Now, as with every time Ed comes on the show, we never have enough time to play the entire interview with him. Unfortunately, we just run out of time with everything else that happens in the video game industry. So I've taken the entire interview. If you're interested, I want you to go to Google right now, and I want you to search for 3 words, GOG Game Blog. If you put those 3 words into Google, it will come up with our blog as the first result. I checked it last Friday before taking off for the day. We were the first result. So GOG Game Blog in Google. You do that, our blog's the first one to come up. And the entire interview is right there. If you want to listen to Ed Martin and me talk about NASCAR for easily twice as long as we just did.
That is all the time we have for this week. So for Brian Calhoun and Christine Chubb, I am Omen Qureshi. This has been GOG Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network.